Good morning and welcome to Dr. Ng's Sunday Soul Connection. As always, we begin our time together by setting the intention with Nasri 7 and let it be.
Lord, I pray for this day we've come together, that our hearts and our minds reflect you.
To applaud you for taking the next 45 minutes or so out of your busy Sunday as we consciously come into community. Ours is not a building or a temple, but ours is a meeting of the heart that is everywhere present, the heart of God, which is everywhere and nowhere. We come into community to link hearts and minds as we deepen in our connection to the ultimate spirit, the infinite spirit, the almighty spirit of God that is in us, as us, through us. So my beloved, we begin a new theme this morning, the theme of archetypes. This is a subject I have avoided for a long time now. And as always, as I've shared previously, when there is something for me to do, doesn't matter how far I try to run in the opposite direction, it will always keep presenting itself to me until I deal with it. Whilst I'm not one to duck from challenges, I do try and find the easiest challenges to master. But the divine requires me to embrace the bigger challenges. And so, looking into and researching over the archetypes has been a challenge because it's not a field that I'm familiar with. We all like to stay within our comfort zone. I can wax lyrical about things metaphysical, things esoterical, things psychological, not so much. But when they are connected spiritually, then it piques my interest. And whilst it is challenging because in the world of archetypes, there are as many archetypes existing as there are variations and different themes of emotions and energies. And whilst Carl Jung was the one that coined the phrase archetypes, many people have come along to give their own version and interpretation. And so you will find differencing in names that one particular archetype may be called by this person, and the same qualities and references of that archetype is given by another person another name. So it can be confusing, but once you enter into the world, you start to see that there is not only a correlation, but how it is and what it is so significant, and why I now understand why the universe requires that we deep dive into it. Because truly, what archetypes are, they are a universal symbol of patterns and behavior that can be found throughout the different cultures, throughout the different time frames and periods. And it's something that affects the collective. It influences our mental, our emotional, our spiritual growth as human beings. It's a type of energy. And that it is, whilst it is a part of the collective, it is influencing our individual consciousness day to day, daily in all our interactions and the ways we show up. And Jung believed, as I said, he created the concept of archetypes in psychology. And he believed that it was a universal, that all over the world, all human beings, they had this universal character, the archetype within them. And we share this reservoir of memories of what each of these particular archetypes represent. In Jung's work, he named 12. And as I said, there are many when all the other people that have done the various research on them have created more. And the persons whose work I'm going to be basing this series is someone called Carol S. Pearson, and I will post her website so you can look up and Google and deep dive, and if this is a subject that interests you, you can Google even further, or I can send you other references. And whilst her 12 archetypes differ slightly, there is an overlap in all of them. And he organized them into three sets of four. As you know, he does a lot of work with the ego, the soul, and the self. I'm not looking at it from those particular angles because we've covered that in different ways. But I do feel it's important to recognize the spiritual archetypes that there are, how they represent the different aspects of our experience, and how they can help us understand the our deepest desires, our fears, our emotions, our motivations, our attachments, our detachments. And they can really help us provide us with a framework for understanding our own personal development, our own personal transformation and growth. And as we start to understand these various archetypes, not only within ourselves, it can help us recognize these archetypes in others. So when we see what we might consider them to be acting out, as opposed to judging or perhaps criticizing, perhaps it will allow us to be more compassionate and recognize maybe what they're transferring onto us is their unresolved issues with this particular archetype. Now, as I said, there's usually 12 that's operating, and usually two or three are operating simultaneously. And as I share the different archetypes with you, the ones that we will be looking at over the week, according to Carol Pearson, there's the idealist, the realist, the warrior, the caregiver, the seeker, the lover, the revolutionary, the creator, the sage, the jester, the magician, and the ruler. Slightly different from Jung's, but it allows us to see how at various times in our interactions, one or two or more of these archetypes will present themselves in us. And also, when we're watching TV or the cinema, there may be certain characters that you identify with. That's because the archetype that's being portrayed is one that's resonating with you. And many, many, many films and TV programs are created and based on particular archetypes. And so, as we go along, I'll share some with you. But there's a lot of information that I want to share this morning, so I'm going to minimize and spread it out over the week so as not to overload. One of the things Carl Jung said was, do not compare, do not measure. No other way is like yours. All other ways will deceive and tempt you. You must fulfill the way that is in you. And so this is not a competition to judge whose archetypes are better or the one that may be coming out or expressing in you at this time. It's not about judging it and comparing it to others, but it's recognizing its role. And as always, with, as we know, the laws of universe, there's always the laws of polarity and duality. You have both the the positive and the shadow side. But I feel that some of the most important reasons why the universe requires me to do this, because as I've shared often, for me, this is not about religiosity and theology. This is about the spiritual work we have to do on ourselves, individually and collectively. This is not about, let me read some Psalms or share you some quotes from the Bible and tell you to go and fast and pray. Always the invitation is, how do or how can I support you as I am supporting myself in this personal transformation? I truly desire every single being to know their true nature, which is the nature of God and good and love. And I truly want people to recognize that this journey on this plane called Earth is not meant to be arduous, but it is an opportunity to recognize your innate divine power. This isn't about praying to a God somewhere. This is about the self praying to the self. It's about understanding that the answer is already right where we are within us. We are both the problem and the solution when we understand our divine inheritance. So when I share these topics with you, it is with that pure intention of finding ways in which we can grow, transform, develop, and truly live out our inheritance. So as we start to understand the role of the archetype, we get to deep dive into ourselves to look at perhaps parts that we're unfamiliar with and have been unknown to us. And this isn't a case, it doesn't matter how old you are. There's always aspects of ourselves that we perhaps fail to recognize, reveal, or even acknowledge. This morning in prayer, something occurred to me that I haven't fully embraced. I am so busy trying to remain invisible and humble to a degree and not blow on my own trumpet. And I was thinking how much my mother was the opposite of that. My mother would always let you know how talented she was, how creative she was, how everything she was. And that so is the opposite of what I ever wanted to be like, that I've gone to the furthest end of the pendulum to deny my abilities, to deny wanting to be visible, to deny that I actually have qualities worth sharing. And it sounds ridiculous to think that I've reached this late stage in my life to only fully now recognize the reason why I am the way I am. So when we start to deep dive into looking at the archetypes that we express at any given time, we get to explore parts of ourselves that perhaps still are hidden. It can help us also work on our relationships with others. Because as I said previously and alluded to, we get to see when they're acting out which archetype is presenting themselves, and to not take personally. We can also discover or work on different areas and gifts that we've buried. I have started to create various things, and whilst I cannot draw to save my life, I realize my expression of creativity takes different forms. I had a wooden heart with wings, which I glued lots of little hearts on to create a heart of hearts. And I'm creating something for my friend's birthday with pictures and beads and things. And it occurred to me that it was time that I stopped telling myself I wasn't artistic. Whilst I cannot hold a paintbrush, I can certainly create. And again, it's these gifts that perhaps we've denied ourselves or have failed to recognize or acknowledge. And it can help us embody the disconnected parts of ourselves. I've shared with you that I have been on a journey of deepening because of the physical challenge I had encountered. And there were certainly the energetic parts of my body that I'd neglected that I needed to rediscover and heal. Understanding the different archetypes can help us be a more integrated and mature person and get to know ourselves at a deeper level and also others and feel connected. It allows us to love ourselves. It can help us heal traumas and old wounds. We can look at some of the universal energies that are needed to help us shift out of self-doubt or anxiety or rumination or spiritual crisis or the dark night of the soul, as some people like to refer to it. It can also allow us to have a unique or doorway to accessing our higher self or our soul. The benefits are numerous. And one of the things that you know that we do here on the Sunday Soul Connection is that it's always an invitation to do the work. This isn't a church on a Sunday. You go, you listen to the pastor's message, and you come out the same way, and you still continue doing the same old, and experiencing the same old for your life. Always here on the Sunday Soul, we are intent on working on our personal transformation. I want to share something that I came across by Dr. Carter Stout, entitled The Wisdom of Archetypes. He says, you're at a cocktail party, and someone describes an incident that resonates with you completely. You listen intently because it almost feels like your story. The similarities to your own life are uncanny. You've been there, actually there. You understand the specific nature of her plight. You feel connected and share an unspoken kinship with her emotional state. You think to yourself, this feels so oddly familiar. Have I had this exact conversation before? Am I having a deja vu? No, you're not going crazy. In fact, there is a simple explanation to this powerful moment. You are connecting with an archetype. Ah, yes, archetypes. Many of us instinctively know their meaning, yet would be hard-pressed to find them. Archetypes are universal patterns of energy that reflect our collective human experience, transcending time, place, and even language, appearing in many different forms, from the most heroic faces of our humanity to the darkest and most fearful archetypes. which allow us to express and understand the storylines of our life. Through them, we tell the tales of our tragedies and triumphs, our weaknesses and strengths, and the life lessons that are a part of the soul's evolution. So when we are talking about shared patterns of thought, feeling, belief, or behavior, we are referring to archetypes. I think that gives us a full explanation and a understanding deeply of this. So I'm going to jump about a little. I think I want to share with us our poem. Let me introduce our first archetype. Actually, no, I won't. I'll come back to that. Our first archetype is the idealist. And as I said, there's always this overlap. So in Carol Pearson's version of archetypes, she recognizes that the idealist is also known as the child, the innocent, the shaman, the healer. And this archetype is the closest you will get to the true self, or the inner child of Eastern mysticism, an uncomplicated and authentic personality. As idealists, they have a temperament and they're passionate and concerned about personal growth and development. She says an idealist strives to discover who they are and how they can become their best possible self. Always this is a quest for self-knowledge and self-improvement. And this is what drives their imagination. They want to help others, and they want others to make their journey as easy and as happy and as light as possible. Idealists are naturally drawn to working with people, whether in education or counseling or in social services or personal work. They're in journalism or in ministry. They are gifted at helping others finding their way in life, often inspire them to grow as individuals and to fulfill their potentials. Idealist individuals are most fulfilled when their lives are based on their deeply held values and beliefs. They are naturally idealistic, optimistic, and hopeful. They often demonstrate perseverance in the face of obstacles and motivate others to trust that everything will turn out well in the end. Excuse me. They are most excited and challenged by opportunities to put their personal values into actions. Now, those are the positive traits, and I'm sure there's something there that we can all identify with as that particular archetype. But as I said, there's also the shadow and the negative side. And sometimes these characteristics and traits and qualities look like being naive or immature or irresponsible, being indecisive or inflexible and resistant to change. It avoids taking responsibility or accountability. It feels powerless or doesn't believe in or claim their power. It's overly dependent, needy, or could begin overly trusting. It's gullible. It's easily deceived, easily manipulated, overly optimistic and unrealistic, overly emotional or sensitive, easily hurt, can be reactive, and can be disillusioned easily. So you see, again, I'm sure there's aspects within this negative shadow side that we can all agree with. So once we understand these various traits within this particular archetype, we can also see it in others. And if we see that the others are presenting, or even ourselves presenting, the shadow side, we know how to help them work with and change that around, because we know it's not the whole truth about them. So my sacred text is from 2 Peter 1:5-9. For this very reason, make every effort to add your faith, goodness, and the goodness and knowledge, and the knowledge and self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind, forgetting they have been cleansed from their past mistakes. I particularly am fond of this piece of sacred text, because there is this continuing invitation to keep growing and expanding so that we express our Christ nature, our Christ spirit. My poem is entitled The Idealist by Robert Rittel. The sun has moved into Aries, giving the spirit rise to new stories, exalted speculation in ethical sense, planets, facilitation and its reference, shadows after shadows as chain, the dooming reality and its claim, the tormented shore of growing race and its consequences that we face, from every depth of good and ill, lockdown therapy for nature's fill, spirits of dead properties near to prey, pulling the rope towards their way, the removal of all obstacles in distress, the unhappy need by all dear to confess, to consume for the sake to prove, consummate false gods, egos aloof, ambition needing another tone, for in the universe we are all alone, our world, its joy, and shared in pain, enchanted mysteries, and its contented gain. So my story today that I want to share with you is about Johnny Kim. Johnny Kim is a Korean-American Navy SEAL doctor, aviator, astronaut, and a member of NASA's Artemis team, which aims to lead humans to the moon for the first time since 1972. Johnny Kim was born to South Korean immigrants in Los Angeles on the 5th of Feb, 1984. His parents arrived in the United States in the early 80s and opened a liquor store, which they ran together, while Kim's mother worked part-time as a substitute teacher. His father did not have a formal education, and Kim said he worked hard, often 6 days a week. And Kim's family's life during his childhood was difficult. He has shared publicly that his father was abusive to him, his mother, and his younger brother. In February 2002, when Kim was a high school senior, his father threatened him and his mother with a gun. That same evening, Kim's father was shot and killed in the family home during a confrontation with the police. After he graduated high school in 2002, Kim enlisted as a seaman recruit with the U.S. Navy. He completed a variety of specialized trainings, including the basic underwater demolition as a SEAL, of course, combat medicine, before being assigned to a SEAL team. Throughout his military career, Kim continued to pursue numerous training opportunities and became an accomplished parachutist, scuba and combat diver, and reconnaissance scout and sniper. He was deployed to Iraq twice during the Iraq War and operated as a medic, sniper, navigator, and point man across the 100 combat operations. Kim was awarded the Silver Star for rescuing Iraqi soldiers whilst under fire in 2006. That same year, while on duty in Iraq, two of Kim's closest friends were shot. Kim, serving as a medic, applied aid to one of them, but neither survived. The feelings of helplessness that struck him that day partly inspired him to become a doctor. I made a promise to my fallen brothers that I would live my best life in a way that betters the world and that in their honor. For me, medicine was the answer. And so to that end, he enrolled in the University of San Diego, completing his mathematics degree in 3 years. After graduating, he began his medical studies at Harvard Medical School in Boston. where he met astronaut and physician Scott Parizynski, who encouraged him to consider applying to NASA's astronaut candidate program. Kim had dreamed of being an astronaut as a child. He once had a poster of the Apollo 11 crew above his head. And in 2016, having graduated from Harvard, earning his MD, and 1 year into his four-year residency in emergency medicine, he was selected to join NASA as one of a dozen candidates out of a pool of more than 18,000. After completing additional aviation training programs and naval flight surgeon courses, Kim earned the elite title of Aerodynamic Dual Designator as on March 24, 23, indicating his status as both an aviator and a flight surgeon. I edited that as much as possible, but what he accomplished in spite of his childhood, his upbringing, and all the things that he encountered. And I know that he went through and still goes through, I'm sure, experience in the various archetypes that we will be covering. From who was his hero to being an idealist, I think we can see those qualities and traits definitely within him. And so, my beloved, as we start to embrace this new series of archetypes, I trust that you find it revealing and transformational. So if you haven't already, I invite you to close your eyes as we go within for our reflective meditation. As always, I like to remind you of the words of Job, who said, "It is the Spirit of God that has made me. It is the breath of the Almighty that gives me life." So as we take the next three deep breaths in, let us be cognizant that it is the breath of the Creator, not the archetype, the Creator, but the all-living, all-loving, all-supplying Creator. Inhale, lower the diaphragm, extend the stomach, and breathe in the breath of God. Hold. Gently, slowly release. Inhale. Hold. For the third and final time, inhale. Hold. Gently, slowly release. This is a whole body treatment by Reverend Sally Robbins. Affirm to yourself, in this moment, I bless my body. I bless my feet that takes me on new adventures. I'm grateful for all the bones and muscles that make up my feet. They lead me to distant horizons that delight and surprise me. I bless my ability to move. I bless my legs that powerfully move me on my divine path. The muscles in my legs are strong, capable, and reliable. They hold me up in times of need, and I'm grateful for their sturdiness. I bless my ability to stand firm. I bless my back that carries much of the weight of my body. I relax the back muscles that sometimes needlessly take on my worries. I'm grateful for all the flexibility and strength of my back's mighty muscles. I bless my ability to carry on. I bless my heart that pumps in its own divine rhythm. My heart is tuned into the infinite, and I'm grateful that every artery and vein joyfully receive the life-giving blood my heart pumps. I bless my ability to give and to receive. I bless my arms that do the work that is mine to do. Whether typing on a computer, holding a child, driving a car, or stirring a pot in the kitchen, I'm grateful my arms continually do what is asked of them. I bless my ability to work. I bless my eyes that see my world with wonder and awe. In addition to my physical eyes that see the beauty of this world, I'm grateful for my third eye that sees the perfection of each circumstance and individual in my world. I bless my ability to see. I bless my brain that is connected to the divine wisdom of the universe. I'm grateful for my brain's neuroplasticity, which allows it to change with every new situation and environment. I bless my ability to choose. I bless my body. It is the vehicle of my soul. And I'm grateful for how it carries me on my sacred journey from glory to glory. I bless my ability to grow. And so it is. Allow that beautiful reflective meditation to resound within your soul. And take a deep breath in as we enter into our circle of prayer. Always you're invited to include anything or anyone that's in need of prayer at this time. Mother, Father, God, as we consciously come into communion with you this morning, embracing and opening to the various archetypes that exist within us, these universal energies that as we become aware can allow us to transform and grow and express our true self, our God self. As we recognize each, both the positive and the negative of these archetypes within us and within others, let us not seek to be judgmental or critical, but seek to embrace whatever the truth that it is being revealed to us, whatever is necessary for our transformation and growth, so that we can grow more and more in our expression and experience of your light, your life, and love in us, through us, as us. We know it can be challenging to see these different aspects within our nature, but only as we do so. As our master teacher took himself off to the desert that he could recognize and learn and grow and transform. So too are we invited to go off into the desert of our consciousness and seek out and bring forth and recognize and heal whatever these archetypes are revealing and showing us. Mother, Father, God, at this time we always like to hold our world and all its inhabitants, two-legged, four-legged, winged, finned, hoof, in our circle of prayer. You are the divine essence, the field, the energy, the life force that flows in and through every expression, every part of creation. In this world and all the other worlds that are unknown, and all the galaxies and all the cosmos that exist, you are that intelligence, that field of energy, that light from which we all draw forth from, to which we all exist in which we all are living, moving, and having our being. Everything that we desire for ourselves, everything that we need, wish, want, we also recognize that every other individual requires, desires, wishes the same. Food and shelter and safety and freedom and justice and equity is a right for each and every one of us. So we hold in our hearts a world that expresses in just such a manner, a world that embraces all people irrespective of their race, religion, sexual orientation, or any of the many things we find to see the other as different. Mother, Father, God, for anything I have not asked, I know you will not fail to bless. For you said, your thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and your ways are mightier than our ways. So for every need, for every want, for every prayer, for every desire, I release them to you now. And so it is, and so it is, and so it is. Take a deep breath in as I unmute the phones this morning. My beloved, I have spent such a long time discussing archetypes in the introduction and beginning. I've omitted our science of mind, and even we're running short for our Buddhist reflections. So let us do a few at least. So repeat after me. If anyone has hurt or harmed me, knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed,
knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
I freely forgive them and I ask forgiveness.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
If I have hurt or harmed anyone.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
Knowingly or unknowingly, in thought, word, or deed.
May I feel protected and safe.
May I feel protected and safe.
Contented and at peace.
Contented and at peace.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my physical body provide me with strength.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
May my life unfold smoothly and with ease.
My prayer of intention, I am the light of God within and without.
I am the light of God within and without.
Radiating brightly. I am the love of God within and without.
I am the love of God within and without.
Expressing unconditionally. I am the power of God within and without.
I am the power of God within and without.
Manifesting exuberantly.
Manifesting exuberantly.
I am the presence of God within and without.
I am the presence of God within and without.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Eternal and unceasingly.
Our rumination for this week, Rumi says, soul spring. Everything visible has an invisible archetype. And so my closing benediction is by Reverend Marcy Sharanita. As we're in on a new year, may we give thanks for all we hold dear, our health, our family, and our friends. May we release our grudges, our anger, and our pains, for these are nothing but binding chains. May we live each day in the most loving ways, the God-conscious way. May we serve all who are in need, regardless of race, color, or creed. May we keep God of our own understanding in our hearts and to chant God's name each day. May we lead the world from darkness to light, from falsehood to truth, and from wrong to right. May we remember that we are all one, embracing all, discriminating against none. May your year be filled with peace, prosperity, and love. May God's blessings shower upon you and bestow upon you each a bright, healthy, and peaceful new year. Well, my beloveds, I'm sorry I've overrun with time, but my closing song is one of my faves. This is by Ryan Ellis and Doe, entitled Heart of the Father. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I never know a love like yours. So intimate, so powerful. And I've seen, and nothing comes close. I've never known a love like yours. Jesus, your name is
Oh, we sing praise. My beloved, I wish you a very blessed and joyous week, and I look forward to joining you next Sunday as we continue.